والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك، أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful, all praise and thanks are due to Him, and peace and blessings be upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He who is guided by the will of Allah, no one can misguide him. And he who is misguided, no one can guide him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend His blessings upon every single person of us. Respected dear brothers and sisters, I know it's not easy for any one of you to attend or to listen to someone, maybe the age gap between you and him at least 30 years. It's not easy. Some of you might be forced to sit here, but I need you to be a little bit, or a little bit, it depends, okay? Be patient, some kind of patience, till I finish to the end. I have a specific title and I'm planning to convey some certain concepts to you, okay? But I will not tell you what I'm planning yet, till I finish the first story. Now, the structure of my talk. I have a couple of questions at the beginning. I want to fix something between you and me. Then I will start the core of my talk, and I will be using three stories. Each story will include a concept, and at the end, I will be connecting the thread between all of them to reach to some certain things in my mind, and it will be step by step. But before I delve into the core point of my talk, and before telling you about the title of my talk, simple one or two or maximum three questions. Just when I ask the question, raise up your hand whether you agree with this or that, okay? My first question, what is, to the best of your knowledge, from your point of view, what is more interesting and more beautiful? Playing a game on a PlayStation 4, like what you call it, Fortnite? For example, okay, what is more beautiful, more interesting, more joyful, basically of happiness, to play Fortnite on the PlayStation or to study for a final exam? Which is more beautiful? My question is very specific. Which is one is more beautiful? Studying beautiful? I'm asking beautiful, that you enjoy. Which is, okay, forget, for the men, just men, Shabab. What's my question? More beautiful. PlayStation. The majority is what? PlayStation. Majority, they will have it, I know. Some of you, maybe they don't care. Okay, I know some of you, they don't care. And I know some of you, maybe they are very intelligent, they want to have the best marks. I'm not discussing those people, I'm asking the average of the, or the majority of the people, they will enjoy what's better in your age? PlayStation or study for the final? PlayStation. It's a nearly common sense, nearly common sense. Maybe the question is not applicable so much on the you girls. It's okay. Having very specific, nice chats together or having final exam? More beautiful. More beautiful. Chats, definitely. Okay, type, other question. What is more interesting and more beautiful? Two, for example, watch some kind of sport, okay, on TV, real competition, football, hockey, or so whatever, something really you like, more interesting, or taking care of an ill person at the hospital, more beautiful, more interesting, more joyful, which one? Definitely the first one, definitely. I'm not asking from ethical point of view. I'm not asking from Islamic point of view. I'm asking you from common sense, human point of view, in a mathematical words, basically, the majority of the people. If it's up to you and there is no consequences, and there is no halal and haram, there is no accountability, what do you prefer? Definitely. Definitely, you will enjoy something, you will feel happy with it. Do we agree in general on this? Okay. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, I want to pay your attention to the following facts. Now, what I asked you about, for example, sports, playing, Fortnite, chatting, mass gathering compared with final exam, someone who is ill or whatever. I will ask you in specific what is more what? Beautiful or more interesting. صح? But if I asked you what is more beneficial, if I change the question now, what is more beneficial for the long term? Watching, sport, playing, games, or studying?
Studying.
Look, completely. Now, more beautiful? An answer. More what? Beneficial. Other? Now, my first message, by the way, I've not started my talk yet. I want just to put, to lay some kind of foundations between you and me. My first message, I think the majority of us agree upon the following, quote unquote. Not everything because it is beautiful or I enjoy it necessarily is beneficial. True or false? In many cases, what is more beneficial could be what is not interesting for me. True or false? We agree on this? Fine. Now I will connect this concept with a real story, then I will start my talk. Have you heard about Sheikh Yusuf Estes? Yusuf Estes, he's a very well-known da'iya from Texas, Dallas, United States. MashaAllah, he's I think 70-something, maybe he's approaching 80 if I'm not mistaken. Yusuf Estes, he says about himself the following story about one of the core things that pushed him to embrace Islam. And if I'm not mistaken, I forget, I heard it from the YouTube or person from him. I know him in person. I sat with him many times. So, to the best of my memory, he told this to me directly. If I'm mistaken, I saw it because I mixed what I saw in the YouTube and what I took from him directly, because I met him many times in different countries. He says about himself the following. Core point, one of the main reasons that why he became a Muslim, he used to be dedicated to Catholicism. He was a Christian, following Christian faith. So one of the things that he was trying to do, because he loves his faith, he used to love his faith, he was doing his best to do exactly what we call it in our Islamic terminology, da'wah. As a Christian, dedicated, faithful person, he was trying to do what they call it the missionary job, okay? One of his targets was simple, humble Egyptian immigrants. He was talking about himself. He said, he used some certain, he used to have some kind of shop or place. He used to deal with this immigrants, his English not that good, he's not well educated, he's not rich, he's working in a very simple, humble thing. So I'm not discussing a da'iya now. I'm not talking about someone who's a professional in da'wah. No, 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 no. Someone who's working a very simple thing with a very humble English and a very difficult legal status. I mean, he's an immigrant, okay? This Egyptian brother, he used to see Yusuf Estes. Yusuf Estes did his best many times to convert this Egyptian to Christianity. So once, twice, three times, four times, seven times. Yeah, you know, that simple Egyptian humble person, he wanted just to finish this talk. He does not want to discuss this, and he does not want to be rude with this person, and he wants just to close this file. Allah guided him to the following thing. He said, look, my dear friend, if you prove to me that your religion is better than my religion, I will leave my religion and follow your religion. Okay? Now Yusuf Estes, he says about himself, he said, I said in myself, caught you! Allah forget! Okay, he said, look, you pray five times, you don't pray five times. You have to go to whatever you don't have to do. When you fast a month of Ramadan, 30 days without food, without a drink, from the dawn up to the sunset, we don't have to do this. Blah, 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 blah. He counted to him list of things which is much more difficult in Islam than Christianity. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. See? So we don't have to do it. So my religion is better. Then this Egyptian brother, Jazallah Khair, he said, excuse me, brother, I asked you to prove, quote unquote, to prove to me that your religion is better, not easier. He said, what? Sir, I asked you to prove it's better, not easier. Finish the quotation. Who said easier is better? Who can claim that easier is better? By the way, watching TV is easier than studying. But let's discuss, if you kept on watching TV for 20 years,
What could you be in 20 years to come, compared with 20 years of studying, for example? Wow! Wow!
Still not what's with it?
Still watching TV.
Still watching TV, yes.
Simply, the only added value that you have to your life, that you watch TV. That's it. So, while if you kept on doing studying or many other things, you would be completely something else. But it's not easier. It is better. So my first message, by the way, this is not my talk. I have not started my talk yet. I want just to fix some certain concepts on the ground. I want to lay a common ground foundation between you and me. Easier is not better. Agreed upon? Do we agree on this? More beautiful, not necessarily more beneficial. You know why I'm saying this? To be honest with you, okay, I'm not expert in your society. I came from Jordan. By the way, I forgot to introduce myself, I'm sorry. My name is Amjad Porsche. I'm an associate professor in the field of comparative religions, Christian-Muslim relations, and Islamic faith, faculty of Sharia or Islamic studies, Jordan University. I'm not living in Canada. I'm here since less than 20 days, okay? I was told that some certain number of youth, they might be coming because their parents forced them to come. To be honest with you, wallahi, maybe it's easier to me to kill me than putting me in a situation that I'm talking with you while you hate listening to me. You know what I'm talking about? So please, I want to pay your attention. Sometimes the fact that you are sitting in something less beautiful, less interesting, okay? Less whatever, easier, does not mean necessarily you are losing. No. You might be gaining, but still you are not aware of what you are gaining. So say thanks to your parents for the fact that at least some efforts have been, you know, put in somehow to let you listen to someone. Now, I will start my talk. But before starting my talk, I must tell you something. You know, part of my talk will be built on a concept. I claim that I love my Islam. I'm very proud of my Islam. I'm traveling around the world talking about Islam. I have been studying and teaching Islam since 33 years. I visited 270 cities on earth in 26 countries and 5 continents. So maybe 90% of my talks, I like to use the personal experience plus my personal convictions. Now, can anyone of you guess what is the title of my talk? Can anyone guess what is the title of my talk? Time. You will know that, yes, brother.
Talking about Islam.
Very general, yes. By the way, this is true. In a specific, who can read my mind? It's very difficult, yes. Me and me, yes. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyip. Yes.
Islam in the West.
Tayyip. I will let you know, or I will let you know, you don't use this accent. But by the way, this is one of the accents, I did my PhD in the UK, in Birmingham. So they have a special accent there. Takes you a little bit, we have a meeting, you see? This is their accent they do. So sometimes, maybe I picked some of this. Anyway, but I will let you know the title after finishing the first story. I told you how many stories I will be highlighting.
Three.
After finishing the three stories with the concept that I'm planning to highlight, we will have an open discussion, okay? Now, the first story. How many of you have heard about Rabi ibn Amr? This is the name of a Sahabi, by the way. Who knows Rabi ibn Amr? None. طيب. قدر الله. Good. Very quickly, Rabi ibn Amr was a very simple, humble, unknown soldier who happened to be a companion of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who lived after Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. He was a soldier in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah. Have you heard about this name? The Battle of the Qadisiyah, basically, it was the beginning of the conquer of the Persian Empire. Now, Persians at that time, to the best of my reading and my knowledge, they used to have the most powerful, the most mightiest army on earth, 260,000 soldiers. Muslims at that time, with the best of their power, they used to have between 30, according to the estimations, up to 36,000. So 35,000 for around 250,000 soldier. So it's 1 to 7 or 1 to 8, more or less. In the mathematical, physical calculations, who should win? I'm talking about more than 1,400 years ago. No mass destruction weapons, okay? Nothing. No planes, no jets, no tanks, nothing at all. It's just the manpower. If you have one sword compared with 8 swords, 1 to 8, mathematically speaking, who should win? Definitely. So, but at that time, look, 260,000, 36,000. So, the leader of the Persian armies, his name was Rustam. Please try to memorize this story, because I will build a very important concept. I'll talk about myself. When I first heard the story that I'm highlighting now, I will tell you by the end what is the title that I designed for this story. When I first heard it, it changed my life, this story. And by the way, Sheikh, you are gathering us here just to tell us stories? Yes, telling you stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَقْصُصُ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّفَكَّرُونَ. Tell them of the stories so that they might reflect upon. إِنَّ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ لَعِبْرَةٌ. Tell them, there is a lesson, a wisdom in their stories. And by the way, about a third of the Quran is qasas, stories. So a story basically, it is narrated to give you a concept, to give you a message, to build the faith, to correct a concept. It's one of the best ways on earth to convey messages and to change motivations and concepts, by the way. Fa, we come back to, what's his name, the Sahabi? Rib? The Sahabi. The companion, his name? Rib'i bin Amr. Fix it here, okay? Rib'i bin Amr, yes. Five gifts, each one?
$10.
Okay, good, you told me. Okay. What's the name of the Sahabi? Okay, give it to me. Okay, Jazakallah khair. Okay, now, Rib'i. So, Rustam, who was the leader of the Persian armies, not army, armies, okay? They have different, you know, huge groups of armies. So, Rustam, at that time, part of their traditions, when a big mighty power is about to fight another power, if they can save the blood, why not? Okay? If I can win without any loss, why not? So they have what we call in our, is now negotiations sometimes. Plus, in the negotiations, they try to do what we call psychological war. They would try to show their power so that the other party might say, no, we can't fight them. So let's go back without any problem. So they do these things at that time. Okay, now, Rustam, the leader of the Persians, he asked the representative from Muslims to come speak with him. So Amr ibn al-As, he was the leader of the Muslim army. He sent Rib'i ibn Amr. By the way, before that event, to the best of my knowledge, no one knows who's Rib'i ibn Amr. Just someone from the companions, no one knows who he was. Look, when Rib'i ibn Amr went there, and they tried to do some amazing things. The Persian carpets, these big tents. And by the way, Persians, part of their faith, they do knee down and they do prostrate for their leaders, because in some certain sects and faith in the Persian faiths, basically, they think that some kind of divine things, they are inside their leaders, okay? So they do literally, they knee down and they prostrate for their leaders. So Rabbi Ibn Amr came to Rustam. Rustam was sitting on a stage, like a big, huge, powerful king with all kinds of prestigious aspects. Rabbi Ibn Amr came, he was looking at them. Before he left his horse, he was holding his spear with him. So the first message, he was using the spear to dig it inside the carpets, and he made holes inside the carpets with his spear. The first message, he was telling them, don't ever think I will be attracted with this kind of physical power. يعني أقول تخلون المصريين دبعدك. You know دبعدك. Don't ever think in this way. I don't care with what you have. Anyway, they gave him, like, imagine Rustam is sitting here, Rabi, they put for him a very, you know, simple, you know, chair. Rustam, he was sitting, let's say, about 1 meter and a half above Rabi. Now, in the art of negotiations, if someone is looking down and someone is looking like this, this person has already lost 50% of his power. Don't accept to sit with someone to negotiate unless like this. Okay, psychologically speaking. Rabi was not graduated from any school or from any university. He refused to sit down. He said, if you want to negotiate with me, I want to sit next to, what's his name? Rustam, okay? They said, no, no one is allowed to sit next to the leader. You asked me to come, either you allow me to sit or, salam alaikum. He said, okay, sit. Now that he was sitting next to him, the normal question, Rustam asked the following question. Why did you come here? Rustam was under the impression that this simple group of Arabs, they were hungry, looking for some kind of source of food and drink and money, and just, you know, they come to beg to say, yeah, Chef, please, you know, if you have some kind of bread, some kind of food, yani, Allah, it will be nice. Thank you very much, Jazakallah khair. This is what he thought. A group of Arab gangs, they are leaving the Arabic Jazeera or the Arabic Peninsula just seeking some kind of materialistic things. This is what he thought. Still, he has no idea about what does Islam mean for those people. Ignorant. He said, ما الذي أتى بكم? This is the exact wording in Arabic. What is the thing that pushed you to come here? Who pushed you to come? What did bring you to here? Now, what I need from the story, then I will give a title, please now open quotes and quotes. I will give you the exact wording in Arabic, then I will translate it in English. Because for those of you, who, by the way, how many of you understand Arabic? Good, alhamdulillah. At least the majority of you will be able to grasp the spirit of the meaning. قال نحن قوم, please do your best to memorize it. I will repeat it twice in Arabic, twice in English. قال نحن قوم ابتعثنا الله لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد ومن جور الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام ومن ضيق الدنيا إلى سعة الدنيا والآخرة. I repeat. قال نحن قوم ابتعثنا الله لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد ومن جور الأديان ظلم الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام ومن ضيق الدنيا إلى سعة الدنيا والآخرة. He said, we are a people whom Allah has sent us to save the people from worshipping each other into worshipping just the only God who deserves to be worshipped, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Women جور الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام. And from the injustice that the people, they are suffering under different religions, into the justice of Islam. ومن ضيق الدنيا, from the narrowness of this worldly life, إلى سعة الدنيا والآخرة, to this kind of wideness, huge happiness of this worldly life and the hereafter. Rabi ibn Amr gave the message and the title of his message, his identity, his mission in this life, in a simple statement, I believe if we brought maybe a number of philosophers just to sum up the messages of Islam, they will not be able to do it. The title of my talk is, Who Am I and What Is My Role in This Life? Why am I here? I mean, can you imagine yourself walking in a street, something, for example, by the way, some yourself here say, look, identity, she had an identity. Imagine yourself without this simple definition of identity. Imagine yourself walking in the street, someone asks you, excuse me, who are you? And let's imagine you had some kind of accident or take some kind of medicines. It affected your memory. And you have no knowledge about your address, your name, your parents, the place of living, nothing at all. Imagine yourself in the stats, please. Can you now do yourself to imagine? You don't know your age, your degree, names of your parents, where do you know nothing. Is it something easy? Is it easy? Imagine, ya ammi, who are you? Huh? From where you are coming? I don't know. Of where you are going? I don't know. Ya ammi, who's your father? I don't know. Ya ammi, where have you been? I have no idea. What's this? This is exactly the one who does not know his identity with a very simple meaning. Let's come to the high meaning of the identity. Who am I? Okay? How do you define yourself? Are you something that has come by the law of coincidence, sudfe, as unfortunately poor atheists think? We came just by the law of coincidence, sudfe. طب مين جابك يا اخي؟ كوينسيدنس صدفه اولا لا مين صدفه هاي؟ كوينسيدنس والله Do you accept this to be applied in your daily life? No. Laws, financial laws, economic laws, political laws, everything. But when it comes to the law of the existence, صدفه. They are cheating themselves. They are fooling themselves for fooling others. So my title is, look, Rabi ibn Amir, when he understood the message, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or tells us in the Quran about those people at that time. They used to believe in the following. Okay? We pass away, we die, we live, and nothing will affect us, and we will die unless just the time, which means like some things of the atheists. Okay, we don't know where did we come from, where are we going, we have nothing at all. Now, they're having new concepts. He realized that, who are you? I'm part of the creation. What do you mean the creation? The universe is created. Who's the creator? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? الذي خلق السماوات, the one who created everything. But why we are here? وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. Verily indeed, I have not created the jinn and the human being, but to worship me. But what will happen to me? كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every single soul will taste the taste of death, whether you love or not. إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون. Indeed, you will die, they will die. It's a law by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the day of judgment, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, or when you pass away, قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. I believe in this. And I believe that this world of life is just a simple span of my time. I'll be living for a very limited short time. Then death for me, in my understanding, is the gate that will enable me to get into the world of Barzakh. What is Alam al-Barzakh? Barzakh in Arabic is the barrier between two things. Worldly life, hereafter. Hereafter starts with the day of judgment. But between them, Barzakh, barrier, souls will be kept. So what will happen? Day of judgment, when every single soul will pass away, and Allah will be have what we call the resurrection and congregation. Al-Ba'ath wa al-Nushur will be resurrected again. Ihya mara ukhra, we will have our souls, and we will set for the accountability. Allah will set every single person of us, none of us but will be sitting before His Lord in the day of judgment for what He has done, what He has said, and at the end, it's either Jannatun Abada or Narun Abada. It's either or, and it's your decision to take a decision from now. When you understand who are you, you can't waste time. You can't put priorities just for what is interesting and more beautiful. I'm not saying don't enjoy your life, don't misunderstand me, okay? I'm not saying don't play with the PlayStation 4. I'm not saying this. Okay? I'm not saying don't have chats together, don't enjoy it. I'm talking about now the priorities and what is more beneficial and what is more serious, because this depends completely on who you are. If you accept your identity as a true believer in Allah, you need to look at someone like Rabi' ibn Amr. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ ابْتَعَثَنَا اللَّهُ لُدُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ. We are a group of people Allah has sent us to help the people from worshipping their desires, worshipping themselves, worshipping their bodies, worshipping their people, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the general meaning of worship. So this is the first story. The title of my talk is now, who am I and what is my role in this? God, okay? This is the first story. What is the name of the Sahabi? Okay? And the leader of the Persian army? Rustam. Good. Second story. Second story, I'm not sure whether it's real or a fake or a symbolic story. Let's imagine it, it's a symbolic story, just, okay, to give a message, because I'm not sure. But it contains an amazing point that supports what I need. The story says, and I will be doing some kind of modification to the story from the Arabic version that I know. Story says, in Arabic they say, ثَلَاثَةْ عُمَّالْ حِجَارَةْ فِي مَوْقَعْ نَطَحَتْ سَحَابًا. In English I would say, three men, they were working in a site, building, you know, they were building a high-rising building, huge. So three of them, they were working in a very simple job, which is, let's say, collecting the bricks or collecting the sand so that the crane can take these things up to the higher floors. So three workers, okay, in a construction area, high-rising building, they are working in a simple thing, which is just collecting bricks and stones for the, you know, to be mixed with cement or other things. Clear? So let's imagine someone is working in that area, someone here, the third one there. The same job, same site, for the same purpose, nothing distinguishes any one of them. Clear so far? Now, the person who's in charge, someone who's responsible on the site, came to the first person. He asked him, ماذا تفعل? What do you do? He said, قال, I'm collecting the bricks as my masters commanded me. قال أنا أقوم بتجميع الطوب كما أمرني سيدي. Which is true. He was doing what? Collecting bricks, putting them in a certain things, containers, to be uploaded to the high floors. Exactly. What do you do? Literally, he said, look, there's a very deep philosophical thing. He said, I am collecting bricks as my master commanded me. Good. The one who's in charge came to the second person. What do you do? Same place, same job, same time. What do you do? He said, I'm portraying a very beautiful picture. He means that, you know, I'm designing something beautiful. Same job. He went to the third person. He said, what do you do? He said, excuse me, don't waste my time. I'm building a high-rising building. I have no time to talk with you. Three in the same site, same job. In Arabic they say, أَمَّا الْأَوَّلُ فَرَعَ نَفْسَهُ خَادِمًا. As for the first one, he was looking at himself as a servant. Mere pure servant. Doing, applying, performing the commandments of his master. Second one, he was seeing himself as an artist. Okay, I'm collecting the bricks, but I'm part of making very beautiful high-rising building, so I'm an artist. As for the third one, he saw himself the owner of the project and the one who is in charge of the project. This is how he looked at himself. Maybe to a degree, the one who was asking him, he felt afraid to interrupt him again without taking an appointment. He said, excuse me, can I speak with you? I'm busy. I have a huge, big job here. Do you know what is the title of this story? Who can tell me? Give me a title for this story, at least as I highlighted. Give me a title for this story. Give me, yes. Huh? The Busy Man? Okay, thank you. By the way, Everything is good, you participate. But I'll try just to motivate you from inside. What else? Yes? Yes?
Point of view of people. Point of view.
Point of view of the people for life. Good. What else?
The left of money. Three workers.
Three workers. Good. What else? Yeah?
How each person looks at life.
How you, please say it loudly. How? How each person is viewing or looking differently. Good. What else? Thank you. Yes? People's, different people's perspective. True. What else? Sorry, I can't hear you.
How you portray yourself.
How you portray yourself. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much, sir. Yes? Last one.
Different attitudes in life.
Different attitudes. Good. By the way, none of you has said something completely wrong. You have participated in somehow in the mosaic big picture. My own title, you know what is it? It's you who decide who you are. It's your decision. It's your decision. The first one, you wanted to say it? You were planning to say it? I caught you. You wanted to say it? Okay, no problem. It's you who decides who you are. The first one, he was breaking stones, collecting bricks, but he saw himself a servant. The second one, he saw himself what? Artist. The third one? The big boss. The big boss of the عملية كلها. No one can speak with him. Wow. Same job. Yes, it's you, by the way. It's you. It's you who decides. By the way, if we imagine that Islam is this gift, okay? It's you who decides how to look to this gift, how to hold it, where to put it, how to use it. It's you. By the way, this is a watch. It was designed for a certain purpose. I can play games with it. I can, hey, give me a fish. Something like this. I can. Can I use it for this purpose? Was it designed for this?
No.
But I can use it. But I am minimizing the purpose of it. I'm killing it. It was designed for something else, okay? But if it is one of the very expensive things, you have another problem. So it's you who decide who you are. This is the second story. I have the third story, and I will finish my talk by the third one. By the way, I will finish conveying my message. But then we will have another phase. Maybe we'll have 5 minutes break after finishing the third one. Then I will start dealing with excellent. So I need about 10 minutes to finish Aslan my third story. After my third story, you will have a break. You will reflect upon what I'm talking about. We will come again to have a open discussion. Okay? طيب third story. Without break? Okay, no problem. Okay. Brother Hamid suggests that when shawarma comes and when shawarma gets into the stomach, everyone will sleep. So we will finish everything, then we will eat, inshallah. Anyway, now let's continue our third story. The third story, basically, it came to me through one of these viral emails. It's an amazing story. Really one of the most beautiful, beneficial messages in a story, in an email that I received in my life. Maybe some of you received that. I need you to be a little bit patient with me to take the morale. You know the word morale? Not moral. Moral, M-O-R-A-L, which means ethics or ethical, okay? Morale with L-E means the wisdom behind it, okay? The message behind al-hikmah. Now, what is the morale behind the story? The story says that a professor of philosophy came into his class. It's an American story. An American professor of philosophy. He came to his class. now class of philosophy, he should be discussing what? Philosophy, common sense. Now, this clever philosopher, he wanted to send a deep message in this life for his students. Huge theater, full of students, like your respected self, sitting, looking, waiting for a lesson in philosophy. Now, he prepared himself in advance. He put some certain things inside the doors of the table in front of the students. Now, he has already prepared a big mayonnaise jar, and he put this in front of the students, like in this, you know, mayonnaise jar, martaban, big one. He put it there. He came in front of the students. He pulled out from one of the drawers a plastic bag contains golf balls. He powered the golf balls into the mayonnaise jar, so it was full. He asked the question, is it full? All of them, they said, yes, it's full. Then he pulled another plastic bag, contains the pebbles. You know the pebbles? Small stones inside the rivers, which is maybe 10th of the size of the golf ball. He powered the pebbles. Eventually, it went through the spaces of golf balls completely. Then he said, is it full? They said, yes. Who can fill? How come we found a place for another thing to be filled? Then he pulled out plastic bag contains very soft sand. He poured the sand. The sand filled the spaces, the gaps between the pebbles and the golf balls. So it became full again. Is it full? Yes, 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 you have it full. What are you trying to say? Then he pulled from inside two cups of coffee. Liquid now. So went through the spaces of the sand and the pebbles and the golf balls. Is it full? Yes, yes. They start laughing because they have no idea, no clue about what was he trying to tell them. Then he said the following. He said, this is an American professor who seems to be a religious person. I assume he's a Christian. Okay? I have no idea. But he said the following. He said, look, this jar, can you imagine, in my hand now, this jar represents your life. The golf balls represent the most important things in your life, such as God, family, your health. Now, the pebbles represent things that matter, but not the most important thing, but they do matter, such as your job, your place of living, okay, the income that you earn, do you have a car or not? Do you own a house or you rent a house? They do matter, okay, you can live. Look, the golf balls represent what? The most important thing, your health, for example, your relation with God, your family. If you lost your family, you will not be enjoying having a nice car, for example, 219. But you will be very happy if you have an excellent family and you don't have a car. You can use the public transportation, no problem. This is what I mean by things, okay? You don't have a health. You can't walk, you can't hear, you can't smell, you can't eat. So even if you have Ferrari, what kind of benefit you are getting? You can't use it. No health, you can do nothing. I repeat, golf balls represent the most important things, such as, his example, God, family, health. Then the pebbles, things that matter, like your job, your place of living, the money that you earn. Now we come to the most important thing. Then he said, the sand represents the silly stuff in your life. Everything else. Things that whether you missed or you have, it's not a big deal. Such as your hairdo. Okay, if I'm bald or with a long hair, so what's that big difference? If I have a jacket from leather or a jacket from cotton, what's this big deal? Okay? If I have it this nice style or that style, what's that big deal will make difference? If my car has, for example, red color or blue color, what kind of big difference for me? Well, nothing. Okay, maybe I like red. Okay. Suppose that I could not have the car that I love. If I love Toyota, for example, I was not able to have but Honda. So what, Yanni? So what? Nothing. Silly things. Oh, the music that I'm listening to.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay, what if you did not listen to the music? What will happen? For example, watching or playing games, what I'm gonna lose? Silly things, other marginal things in your life. Now here comes the core point of the story. Look what he said. He said, if you filled the mayonnaise jar with sand first, you can't add anything. If you filled with the sand, you know, if it is full with sand, you can't add. If you started adding golf balls, no problem. You can add pebbles, you can add sand, no problem. If you have the golf balls, just a few minutes, Maresh. If you put the golf balls, if God is there, if your family is there, if your health is there, if your iman is there, no problem. You can enjoy other things whenever you want, because there's space. But sand has filled everything. You want to put God when you are passing away. Sorry, sir, there is no bliss. No bliss! Full, the jar is full. Let me give you a practical, simple example. If my daily life, apart from my sleeping hours, let's say 8 hours, 16 hours, four of them I'm doing sport, bodybuilding, for example, for brothers, for example, okay? 3 hours playing, for example, Fortnite. 4 hours, for example, if I have a nice car, just cleaning the car, drifting with the car, or chasing beautiful girls in the street, or listening to... You know, 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours. So my jar is full of sand. Imagine that, tonight I'm passing away. Okay, the angels, they come to me. Okay, I'm about to leave. Okay, I'm opening my jar. I want to use something from what I have. What I will use? Sorry, Mr. Angel, but okay, I will see. Which is the last song I memorized? Not the last ayah. The last song. This is what I have! This is what I have! It's full! By the way, I'm not discussing haram and halal things. I'm discussing more important, less important now. Okay, I'm not discussing haram and halal. Okay? If all of my life, if every day, 2 hours in the malls, just walking, looking, commenting on others, wasting my time. Type, where is God in this formula? Where is your parents in this formula? Where's your brothers, your sisters, your family, yourself, your mind, your soul, your body? All of these things, the priorities, where are they? If you give the priority for them first, you have to be sure you can add everything else later easily whenever you want. The space is there. But if you started with the sand and always it's full with the sand, believe me, you might not be able to add anything else. Now, the title of this story, my title basically, please be clever. From now, set your priorities from now. Take a decision now. Don't say, when I become whatever, 30, 40, when I finish, you might not finish. Who knows? So, by the way, I finished my talk. Now, I will sum up, I will review very quickly. I will just to make sure. First story, what was about? Rustam bin Amir, Rabi bin? What's his name? Rabi bin Amir and Rustam. Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay? Rabi bin Amir, Rustam. The core point was, who am I? What is my role in this life? I'm a messenger of what? I'm a representative of what? If you want to imitate him, please, this is one of good role models. Okay? The money. The second one was about what? The three? Workers. What is the main title was? It's you. Decide who you are. It's you from now. Third message was what? Yes?
Set your priorities.
Set your priorities. Now, depending on that, I don't know, brothers and sisters, if this level of messages is something that you would love to hear or not. But believe me, from my experience in dealing with people in your age, and by the way, I think the average of your age, the average, basically it's around 15, 16. True or false? You are between 14 and 19, sir? True? Right. When I decided to practice Islam and to leave everything else to be a good practicing Muslim, I was at the beginning of my 10th grade, so I was 15 and a half. So what I'm doing now in front of you, basically, it was a decision that I have taken 37 years ago. So I can claim that I know what I'm talking about. And I can claim that I know what you feel now. Because I was in your age when I did it. I was in your age when I thought, when I decided, when I planned, and I'm now doing what I have planned 37 years ago. No one can tell me, wallahi, I'm still young, I have no idea. Wallahi, please, don't, by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a gift, the gift that Rabi ibn Amr talked about. So let's look to this gift. What is your status regarding this gift? How you will deal with it? What do you think about that? Where to start from? What can I do? Why shall I do this? Etc. So this is my talk. I finished my talk. I will stop now. We will see how much time do we have for the questions. Yeah.